From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. The only thing gathering more dust than my tablet right now might be my personal laptop. It works great. It's just that my main portal to the internet these days seems to be my rather large phone. Well, today, the company HP is rumored to be announcing the thinnest laptop on the market. Will it be able to compete in the world that Apple dominates? Anand Srinivasan is an analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence.
We don't think the market's big enough. I mean, if you look at the PC market in general, the PC market is heavily tilted to laptops $700 and under. In fact, that from a unit perspective, those kinds of units make up about 73% of the market.
So you're not optimistic?
I think the product may well be good. I just don't think it's going to make a difference.
Do you think these companies should just stop making new kinds of laptops? I mean, haven't we moved on?
One of the things that we have to remember is as much as the PC market is tilted towards the low end, where the Chinese buyer is of paramount importance, and the market effectively is abandoning PCs in general, you've seen this through declines in the market, the money that is being made is still at the high end of the market.
Anand Srinivasan is analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence. Anand, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
One of the biggest operating paradigms in Silicon Valley's tech scene is that you can do anything if you just put your disruptive brain power to it. An idea that's shared with the self-help world. Gretchen Rubin is author of the books Better Than Before and The Happiness Project. I caught up with Rubin recently on the road talking about her books. We started by discussing how she uses her online community to help with researching the topics she writes about.
You can have 20 undergraduates eating marshmallows in a lab at Stanford. That's one way to do research. And another way to do research is to be like, this is what it seems like to me. What does it seem like to you? And then hear what people say.
Do these tools, social media, do they make people happier?
I think like many things, it's an amplifier of human nature. So if you're someone who tends to do a lot of social comparison and feel bad when mm-hmm. comparison to somebody else, well, social media is going to amplify that for you. But I think that these tools really are great. And partly because, ancient philosophers and contemporary scientists agree that if you had to say, what's the key to happiness? The key is relationships with other people. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to be in touch with the people that I knew in high school. I want to leave them behind. Okay, fine. But most of us have people where, we wouldn't maybe ask them out for coffee, but we're interested in them. They have a role to play in our life. Weak connections can be more valuable than strong connections because people you're strongly connected to probably know the same information you know. They're not going to bring you a lot of new information. But people that you only sort of know, they might have a whole different set of relationships and connections. And so they could serve a really important role for you.
You think a lot about process. Are there any things you've taken from the way the tech world operates?
Well, one thing that was very much on my mind as I was writing Better Than Before about habits was the self-hacking movement, where people are really monitoring themselves very closely. And, they say you manage what you measure. And if something's important to you, you should find a way to measure it.
Gretchen Rubin is the author of books, including The Happiness Project and Better Than Before. Gretchen, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you.
This week, the European Union started to put into practice a controversial deal meant to stem the flow of migrants into Greece from Turkey and Syria. The deal stipulates that refugees arriving in Greece, wherever they're headed eventually, will be deported. As the EU deal is being implemented, its impact can be seen on Facebook, where human smugglers have been advertising their services. One example, a boat trip promising passage from Turkey to Italy for $4,000. It's now gone, but the ad was seen by Guardian reporter Patrick Kingsley. He is covering the migrant crisis, and he joins us on the line from the busy coastal port of Tekili in Turkey. Patrick, what did this ad look like, and are ads like this common?
Over the past 2 or 3 years, it's become very normal for smugglers, particularly in Turkey and Egypt, to advertise their wares on Facebook. They might set up their own Facebook group, put their details and put what they're offering. So yeah, it is quite common. This particular advert was just a post within a wider group used by migrants to discuss migration issues about how to get to Europe and so on and so forth.
The particular trip being advertised, tell me more about it. It was $4,000 a person. It was advertised as going through Italy instead of through Greece, correct?
Exactly. There was a picture of a large and disused cargo ship to transport hundreds of Syrians from the Turkish port of Mersin to southern Italy. You know, I was looking at some adverts this time last year, and they had pictures of ocean liners, and they really made out as if you were going on some kind of tourist cruise. Whereas this one was a bit more realistic, perhaps because the market they're trying to appeal to is a bit more savvy now.
Patrick, you've been reporting on the larger story of the migrant crisis. Can you talk about the larger role technology is playing here? Is it positive? Is it negative?
Well, technology is very important to these refugees. They use social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, to share information about the routes they're about to take. And then the third way is the use of Google Maps. You often see migrants who are on these inflatable boats cross the Aegean Sea between Turkey and Greece. They come off the boats and they'll show you little coordinates that they've been given by the smugglers to make sure they're hitting those coordinates because they still have mobile phone connection as they cross between Greece and Turkey.
Patrick Kingsley, he's the migration correspondent for The Guardian. He has a book on the refugee crisis coming out next month. It's called The New Odyssey. Patrick, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.